Hi, this is Orion, the sound tech. We had some trouble with our recording hardware today, so the quality of this service is very poor, and I'm sorry about that.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise.
Amen.
with greatness no one can fathom. Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church this morning. We're glad to have you with us, whether you're a guest or a visitor or a longtime attender, whether you're gathered here with us this morning or listening later online, we're glad to have you. Either way, you share in this community's experience of worship, and that is important. The singing and praying and listening and fellowship we do here together this morning are energizing for our own spiritual journeys and for our life as a congregation together. So let's continue by singing, and let's stand.
We'll sing from the Green Book, number one. The Green Book, Sing the Journey.
So hear these words from Psalm 145. I will extol you, God, my God and King, and bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, with greatness that is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abiding in steadfast love, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your faithful shall bless you. So with those words in mind, let's pray together and get ready for worship. Wonderful God, as we gather this morning to worship you, help to clear our minds and focus on the words that we hear this morning. Clear our minds of all the distractions of this past week, and help us to ready our bodies and our spirits to receive your word. Let's continue this morning with singing.
Please stand if you are able, and we will sing from the blue hymnal number 55, Cantemos al Señor. I'll give you a minute to find that, and I'll tell you which verses we're doing in which language. So we're in the blue hymnal number 55. We will sing verse number 1 in Spanish, and then 1 in English, then 2 in Spanish, and 2 in English, and then there's a little extra part at the very end of coda. But if you're like me and you might get the languages mixed up and sing in the wrong language, let's not worry about it today. It is all worship, and God receives our praise in whatever language and with the intent it has. Number 55, Cantemos al Señor.
Thank you.
hymnal. We'll turn back to number 606. Oh, Have You Not Heard? In the blue hymnal, number 606.
Thank you.
We gather together this week for assurance, together as a congregation, and to affirm that faith that we don't always express during the week. And now I invite you to stand as one body and one congregation to hear these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, as we bear one another in love, so too does God bear with us and have mercy on us and forgive our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us share Christ's peace with each other and the world by saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "And also with you."
I talked about opening up yourselves to others, getting to know them, giving greetings to them like we just did with passing the peace. And then we talked about blessing someone, holding up our hands from time to time. We bless each other. We give God's blessing and wish the best for each other. Now we have a new focus today. It's on worship. What in the world is that word, worship? Any ideas? It's a big word. Well, it's not that big, but it has a big concept. It's deep. It has many layers. And we're going to explore that over the next 2 weeks. This time, I'm not going to have you come up on the platform. It's okay if you do. But we are going to talk about worshiping God. Where we put our focus on God. I'd like to look around our actual facility because I think there are some things in here that help us to get ready to worship God. I look at the windows. You see how they're pointed at the top? That's not necessary to worship God, but when I look at that, my heart goes upward. And my thoughts go higher than just the bench I'm sitting on. And I think of things above me and beyond me. So maybe when you look at, I don't know what you think of, but when you look at that arch that goes up, stop and reflect that there's something more important about our life together than just what I do Monday through Saturday. Second thing I want to look at is, do you see that sculpture over there on the side? Yeah, it's pretty visible. Someone, the son of Mary Mishra, carved that out of if it's one block of wood, but that was carved out. And it says, can you see it? Let's read it together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, that's part of worship. That's what we come here to do. We come here to praise God. That's another thing we can focus on in the congregation. Now, there's always some. Oh, I'm going to move it here. You see this pen? Sometimes they change. I don't know the whole story behind the person who created this, but one thing caught my attention and catches my attention. Do you see a bird somewhere in there? Way up at the top. To me, it looks like a dove, a peace dove, or a dove representing the Holy Spirit of God, moves around and accompanies us. So when I look at that, part of me focuses on God's Spirit who's with us. There's something new up here this morning, here in the center. I like that you're up here, and when you're up here, you can see things better than when you're back. If you want to scoot over a little bit, there's a painting right here. And I think our preacher Ellie is going to talk about that this morning. But while you're up here, I want you to just notice it, because you can see the details much more than when you're back where you're seated. I'm not sure what she's going to say, but these things here are pretty, but they're not just put here for pretty. They could be. They're beautiful. But usually there's a focus to them, and they can remind us of things that we're thinking about. Now, we did a lot of worshiping this morning. We sang, we prayed. What else did we do? We were silent, confessing the things that aren't quite right. So I want to leave you this week, as you go through the week, with the same two gestures, but a little bit different. We're going to start with this one. Now, I know we don't raise our hands too much in this congregation, but how can you when you have a book in your hand and you know, you have to read the words? So, when everybody has their book up like this, to me, that's like, whoa, we're praising God. So I want to start with that. That's why we come. We come to praise God. So when that book is up, even if you don't have a book in front of you, you don't feel like singing, or if you are singing, that's what we come for. We praise God. And then the second one is, I like to hold my hands out, because every time I come to church, I want to receive something from God. I consider it my own little message. Now, God doesn't swoop down and say, hey, Jeanette, but if I'm listening, if my heart is open, I listen to the songs, I listen to the prayers, I listen to the sermon, and one thing never fails, always touches me, and that's my gift. If your hands and heart are open, you will receive a gift. So think about that as we listen and worship God today. What will your gift be? Now, let's pray. God, we open our hands. We have praised you, and now we are open-handed, ready for your word, ready for your touch, ready for your song. Bless us. Amen. Now it is time to receive, get ready to, let me do this right. Word of God, you're already going. Good job. We're going to go out and get God's word and bring it forth to be read.
If you'd like to look at the words for the song we're singing as we bring the scriptures forward, it's Allah Bare, and it's the first one in your dark blue Prairie Street Saints folder.
Thank you. Thanks.
Our scripture this morning is from 1 Kings 8, 56 through 61. Solomon stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke through his servant Moses.
Primero Reyes 8:56 hasta 61. Bendito sea Jehová, que ha dado reposo a su pueblo Israel, conforme a todo lo que él había dicho. Ninguna palabra de todas sus promesas que expresó por Moisés, su servo, ha faltado.
The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our ancestors. May he not leave us or abandon us, but incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his ordinances, which he commanded with our ancestors.
Sea con nosotros, Jehová, nuestro Dios, como fue con nuestros padres, y no nos desampare ni nos deje. Incline nuestro corazón hacia sí, para que andemos en todos sus caminos, y guardamos sus mandamientos y sus estatutos y sus derechos, los cuales mando a nuestros padres.
Let these words of mine, with which I pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and there is no other.
Y que estas mis palabras con que he orado delante de Jehová estén cerca de Jehová nuestro Dios de día y de noche, para que él proteja la causa de su servo y de su pueblo Israel, cada cosa en su tiempo, a fin de que todos los pueblos de la tierra sepan que Jehová es Dios y que no hay otro.
Therefore, devote yourselves completely to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day.
Sea pues perfecto vuestro corazón para que Jehová, nuestro Dios, andando en sus estatutos y guardando sus mandamientos como el día de hoy.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
Our sermon this morning will be given by Reverend Elder Craig. The Elder gives so much to this congregation in terms of music planning and worship planning, and sort of the life of this congregation overall. So we're very grateful to have her with us this morning, and let's pray she gives the word. God, we're here with your servant Elder. We ask that you ready our hearts and minds this morning to hear what she has to say. We're here in this space that has been so thoughtfully prepared for us, ready to hear words that have also been thoughtfully prepared. God, may the words of her heart the words of her heart and the meditation of her be pleasing to you, our God, our rock and holy Amen.
This morning. So we can always start with this blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. So we are considering worship this morning. One way to describe worship is to say what we do. What actions do we go through when we come together in Sunday morning. We pray, we listen, we sing, we bring our offerings. Those are the outward forms of our worship. And I will come back to that a bit later on. That is all about the scriptures of what we do in worship, of how we worship. That's the how of worship. But another way of talking and thinking about worship is to consider the inner dynamics, the inner meaning, the inner substance of worship. The why, in other words. Why are we doing these things? Why do we sing? Why do we pray? Why do we even bother to come together on a Sunday morning? And so I want to deal with that first, the why of worship. I'm going to start with a painting. This is a picture that I have and I see every day in my house. It's a very small painting, but it is a lovely scene of a lake with a forest, a beautiful sky, reflection in the water. It evokes the light and shadow, and it gives me the feeling of being in that place, a place that I remember, a place of memory. The work is just beautiful in its detail. And so when I look at this, I think about the person who made it. That's Sybil. I know her. She made this work and she gave it to me. It was a gift from her. And so as I look at the picture, I think of her and I think of my relationship to her. And out of this gift spills happiness and joy of recognition and response. And my relationship to her who made this is made even bigger and more joyful. So all of these movements that I'm describing, that is noticing and remembering and thinking about who made this, those are all features of worship. And I'm not saying that I'm worshiping the person who made the painting, but I'm saying those movements, those responses, are similar to what we experience in worship. That is, we love and we enjoy and we delight in the works of God and we respond to that. And our relationship with God then increases as we give thanks to God. So that's talking about the inner response, and that's a very important part of the why of worship, the inner response. But we can also look in scripture and ask the question, why worship? In the Old Testament, we learn the stories of Noah and Abraham and Jacob and Moses and many others, people who longed to know God, who yearned for God. But sometimes they experienced baffling experiences, mysterious experiences of an unknown presence, a sense that there was something beyond their immediate circumstances. An encounter with angels, a ladder going to heaven, a burning bush. These experiences of mystery and power pointed to something beyond their experience. And they named it. They called that God. They called that communion with God. And often they would pile up stones and make up what we call an altar, to recognize where that had happened. So they marked places of encounter. And then as we read in our scriptures, we have songs and prayers. We have proclamations of the prophets. We have a lot that reveals to us the worship of ancient Israel. Praising, thanksgiving, weeping, and imploring, and listening to the prophetic words of the prophets. The proclaiming of justice and a building of hope among the people. So in the Old Testament, we read of a people who are drawn to God, the one who made promises, the one who kept promises. And their hearts yearn to know God, to understand what God is doing and how to walk in the ways of God. So this was at the heart of worship of ancient people in Israel. But God wasn't done with this. In Jesus, God revealed much more, more than the book of the natural order, the beauties of creation, more, more than those mysterious encounters or prophetic visions. God now directly entered the human condition through human birth in a human person. God chose in the fullness of time to send his son to be born of a woman in order to redeem us, to adopt us as children, and to send the spirit of the son into our hearts so that we could cry, Abba, Father. That's in Galatians. The Son was sent into the condition of the world that we know all too well, the reality of pain and distress and violence in human life. God's Son entered our world of pain and lived a fully human life. In Philippians 2, being found in human likeness, he took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself and went through human life even to the point of death on a cross. And as the passage goes on in Philippians, God exalted this Jesus to be the Christ and raised him to glory at the right hand of God. The Christians in the early centuries, in the 5th century, pictured Christ in this place of glory. And we see it now in projection. Christ in glory. A magnificent, glittering picture of Christ exalted. But in the hymn in Philippians 2, we see the honor to the one who humbled himself and was found in the form of human being. The one who became obedient to human limitations, even to human death. Humiliation in death on the cross. This was the Jesus of humanity that we now see in a painting by Janet McKenzie, the picture we have at the front. I love this painting of Jesus. There are three things that are near the top of the picture. There's the yin and the yang, there's the halo, and there's the feather, and there's also the shape of the cross. Jesus is standing, holding his robes with his hand close to his heart. The feminine aspect is served by the fact that although Jesus was a man with a masculine presence, the model for this painting was a woman. The essence of this work is simply that Jesus is here with us. Jesus is all of us. This is a haunting image of a peasant Jesus, dark, thick-lipped, looking out at us with great dignity, with sadness, but with compassion, in confidence. This is Emmanuel, God with us. And this is the one we worship, as well as the one enthroned in glory. So we put all this together, the Old and the New Testament, the stories, the teachings, the songs, the dancing and the lamenting, the worshiping of God in Christ, fulfilling our redemption. And all of this is literally inspired, given breath by the Holy Spirit. When we put it all together, we get a good grasp of those inner qualities of worship. As we read in Romans 1, God has spoken through the good creation, and we humans can respond with honor and thanksgiving. We can sit under a tree and gaze at a beautiful lake and give praise and thanks to God, the one who made all those things. And we can do that by ourselves, one by one. But more than that, God has spoken through the coming of Jesus Christ. And we can read God's word in Jesus and respond. We can respond with love and adoration with thanks and praise. We are overwhelmed with love for this one who has come to be with us. But we need each other to lament and support, to cry out in solidarity with the pain of the world. We need each other to give witness to the redemption that God has done in Christ Jesus, and to find ways to live this out in hope. So we become a people of healing and hope. And that's what worship is about, the inner heart of man. That's too the why of worship. But as well as experiencing those inner qualities of worship, we express these things in outward ways. And so we come to the matter of the how of worship, the activities that we do together. So first I want to make a comparison. We've all been to the restaurant and find the menu in our hand. The menu tells us the names of the dishes. It tells us the order of dishes. It tells us what you cost. And it suggests the order in which we eat those dishes. Now, the menu is important, but it is not the food. The menu is not the food. In the same way, our order of worship is not worship. But order is essential. We need it. We need to feel at home in the order. The order forms a kind of skeleton or framework, a scaffolding and a container. And then, of course, it takes on meaning too. But the order is not the worship. Now, we don't have instructions in the New Testament about how we are to worship, how to build a church, or how to construct a beautiful plan, the order of activities we should do. But in one place in the New Testament, the letter to Corinthians, we can tell what was happening in one particular church when they gathered to worship. They shared a meal together. They had a ceremony of bread and cup to remember Jesus' death and resurrection. And they spent time speaking and listening to one another. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Spirit of Christ was with them, energizing them, reminding them of Jesus, and creating a strong sense of unity among them. We learn, of course, that various activities took place: singing, prophecy, scripture reading, speaking in tongues, interpretation, blessings. All of these inspired by the Spirit, and all was to be done in good order, not chaos. What was the purpose? The purpose was to build up the church, to build this unity which was the gift of the Holy Spirit. In several places in the New Testament, we have prayers and summaries of the gospel. And in some places, there are pieces of hymns that are embedded in the texts. So we know something about the activities of worship in those earliest communities, but there is no prescribed order. However, it is useful and important to consider the order, the range of activities that we do perform together. If there is no order, we have indigestion and we are confused. So now I'm going to go back into a few specifics about worship here at Prairie Street, about this congregation, about the menu of our worship here over the past 50 years or so. And then I'll chart some of the changes. But first, we'll have three snapshots of worship here 50 years ago. We sang out of the old black hymnal, 1926, which had borrowed hymns from various denominations, including some hymns of our own, hymns that were written right here in this church. And there was a section of gospel songs at the back. Then we had the red-brown hymnal of 1968, which brought together music from many sources, historical, folk music, contemporary, and global sources. And some of this music required instrumental accompaniment. But the hymns we sang unaccompanied, this is so-called a cappella, as the word means, as it is sung in chapel, that is, without accompaniment. Though I must remind you that in the 1870s, part singing in church was frowned on. It was considered a way of showing off. Everybody should sing in one unified tune, because that symbolize our unity. So a cappella is a tradition, but it's not an ancient tradition. However, 50 years ago, we sang only a cappella. Snapshot two, prayer. 50 years ago, pastoral prayer was a long prayer, traditionally led by the pastor, and it included thanksgiving, petitions for concern for the church and community, world concerns, intercession. And we turn around and kneel back into the benches. There was an opening prayer and a benediction. Snapshot three, preaching 50 years ago. Preaching was the central element of Mennonite worship. In fact, we call our pastor the preacher. Remember that? Sermons were based directly on biblical texts, and they had an ethical and lifestyle application. We had evening services, so-called evangelistic sermons there were preached. But especially as we dropped evening services, we dropped that type of preaching, evangelistic preaching. We might want to talk about that some more. I looked at a bulletin from 1960, and it outlines the order at that time. Hymn, Bible reading, pastoral prayer, hymn, offering, hymn, sermon, hymn. So all those elements are there. Singing, Bible reading, prayers, sermon. All the elements are there. In a particular, very simple order. There's a lot of carryover, but some changes. So now the four snapshots of what has happened, what changes have happened in the last several decades. About the order of music, about participation, the order of the service, about participation, music, and then about the ordinances. So first of all, about the order. At Prairie Street, our order of worship has evolved. If we look at it today, we see changes, that most of those changes have been introduced gradually. One person of influence in these changes was Marlene Krupp, a teacher at the Mennonite Seminary, who traveled and taught about worship widely in the churches. At Prairie Street, in this earlier in this period, very important for Roy Nelson, and particularly Eileen Mark, they had a worship committee who thought very deeply about worship, who prepared, who wrote, and led worship in ways that really changed and moved and deepened our worship. And we have great debt of gratitude to Boyd Nelson and Harleen Mark. Then the Blue Hymnal came out in 1992. And this is organized according to the movements of worship. If you look in the table of contents, you'll see this. And many Mennonites follow that order in their service. Gathering, praising, confessing, proclaiming faith, praying, offering, witnessing, sending. Those were the consecutive movements of worship, a sequence of elements. But in this church, some changes came through influences from ancient liturgical patterns. The confession of sin with assurance of grace and forgiveness, we saw that this morning. Awareness of the church year, we observe Advent and Lent. And for those seasons, the common lectionary readings that we share with other denominations. The response to scripture reading, the word of the Lord, and we say, thanks be to God. We raise our hands at blessings and the benediction, and to receive at the prayers. Standing to sing at the offering, we'll do that later today. The peace greeting, one of the most ancient elements of Christian worship. We have incorporated that in our worship. Children's time, and then there's sharing time. It has found its regular place here. It gives a time for response to the sermon, for testimony, request for prayers, weeping and lamenting, prophecy to encourage or challenge the church to action or to prayer, welcoming or saying farewell. Sharing time is a fragile element, easily distorted. But here I feel that we have done it well. In fact, young people often say that's their favorite part of worship. Why is that? I think it's because real life shows through, our heart shows through. They're touched by that. And I believe that sharing time is is a reflection of 1 Corinthians 14, that chapter I referred to. Each one, inspired by the Spirit, has an offering to bring to the worship. Every participant has a voice. And the church is built up. That's the purpose of it. So our worship has found its comfortable, spacious order. Second snapshot for now, participation. Along with the changes in the order of worship elements has come this increased wider participation. Instead of just two or three people standing at the front, we now have a worship leader, a member of the church who hosts the service and leads some of the activities. We have a song leader, a preacher, readers of scripture, instrumental musicians, prayer leaders, children's storyteller, someone who gives announcements, anyone can speak and share in time. In other words, we have a highly participatory style of worship. There are many, many more at the front than there used to be. Now the church has welcomed Spanish speakers and have made place for Spanish language readings of scripture, more songs in Spanish, and simultaneous translation or interpretation of sermons. Altogether, a highly participatory form of service. Third snapshot, music. In the late 90s, young people in this church loved to sing. They sang special music in church. And then they made a CD. That was followed by three more CDs made by musicians in the church. And one of them, we made enough copies and gave them to all the people, all members of the church. The idea being that they could play them in their cars or at home and learn the songs that might be new to them, and then we could all sing them vigorously in our worship. And during earlier years, lots of people were presenting what we call special music. Trios or quartets, men's chorus, a choir that sang more classical style of music. We had a paid music director on staff. Children's choir, the Prairie Street Pickers, the guitar players. Jeff Pollock sang solo with guitar. Amy Barker played and led African-American type gospel music. Women's quartet accompanied by piano. Children played instruments and they played the solos that they had prepared before the service. And there was a definite effort to teach the children who were leading the learning instruments to be included in taking part in the Sunday music. There were Wednesday evening practices. For a while, leadership of music and worship was even delegated to subgroups in the church. A small group or a Sunday school class would be responsible to choose and lead all the music in a full service. People who had lived in other countries brought their favorite music from Europe and Africa, all kinds of music. In fact, a third to half the congregation was involved in leading the music in this congregation. The song leaders had a very important role. In the earliest days, David Esch, and then we remember Harold Weaver and Maynard Good were stalwart primary song leaders. The piano was a gift to the church in the late 70s. We sang a cappella, of course, but the piano was used for special music. There were two supplements to the blue hymnal, and we bought both books, those spiral ones that you have in the pews, and we have used this music extensively, and we've also brought out our own supplement, Prayer Street Sings. We even have found joy in dancing, haven't we? It is often said that Mennonites pray when we sing. We may be reticent in our piety, suspicious of too much display of emotion. But when we sing, we can shout and weep, we can feel intense devotion, we can be lifted up in hope. Truly, we pray when we sing, and it's fun. We can use our breath, our whole bodies, and even dance a little where we stand. And the role of the arts has developed too. We take visual care. We love the wood sculpture of Psalm 103. We mark the changing of the seasons, the changing of the colors, the central visuals on the table, and the hangings on the wall. Fourth snapshot, the ordinances. This is the word we use for the communion and baptism and confession. So there have been changes also in the ordinances. Baptism by pouring was traditional for us. It is traditional in our deep history. And it symbolizes the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the candidate as the person kneels. But baptism by submersion, in a birthing tub, in fact, has taken place alongside the traditional baptism by pouring. In doing this, we have widened our acceptance of different scriptural meanings of baptism, the meanings that are expressed in the mode or the manner in which we do baptism. Instead of receiving the cup and bread and seated in our benches, we now all come forward together for communion around the table. The service is spoken in both Spanish and English, and we know that it is something very different to stand close together, shoulder to shoulder, receiving the bread and the cup personally from the elder or the pastor, singing as we finish the service together. So those are changes, and they have to do not necessarily with the theology so much as how we experience worship in our bodies, in ourselves. So through all of this, you can see that we have drawn on so many sources. Our worship is built on an Anabaptist foundation, a simplicity of preaching, song, and prayer. Listening through the Spirit's activity to that call for the daily walk with Christ, the discipleship, preaching, song, prayer, and the daily walk of prayer with Christ. Our worship shapes us personally, that is, in our consciences, our habits, our morals, and our responses. And the worship shapes our church as a body, drawing us closer to one another and to Christ, who is the head of the church. So we have incorporated influence from cultural strands and wider Christian traditions. And this is what we call blended worship. That is, it's traditional with long-standing hymns and songs rooted and fed in scripture, but also aware of the wider Christian families, incorporating songs and lessons in the global church. Change will continue in our forms and actions of worship, that is the how. Change will continue in the how, as the Spirit leads us into a deeper unity and communion with each other and with God. And change also in the why. As we worship together, our love for Christ is deepened, and our alliance with God, with the mission of God, what God is wanting to do in the world, that also will deepen as we worship together. And I look to see changes and growth in both the how and the why. So in summary, I would like to commend our church for valuing our deep traditions in worship, and also for being open to change, because I believe that the Spirit of God has been in this place, in this people, in giving us the gift, the joy, of worship, of song, and prayer. And the Spirit has given us the vocation and the freedom to lament and weep over the world, and to seek the shalom of the world, to pray intensely for the world. But most of all, the Spirit will enable us to go out from our gathered worship filled with hope, energized for joining God in God's work of healing the wounds of our world.
Our response hymn is in your blue hymnal, number 511. 511.
time for ushers, time for prayer.
As the offering is received, please turn in your blue hymnal to 204. This is the purest song of praise I know. Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo. If you know how to sing it in the round, you want to sing it in the round, you can do that if you feel so led. You may hear our instruments do that too, or if this is new to you, then just sing it in unison.
Eternal. Now together let us praise and glorify our God forever. Amen.
Thank you.